Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest joining us from Cincinnati, home of the 2015 All-Star Game, is John Shea. And John, the Giants taking on the Astros first on the road. Now they're in Cincinnati, and as I mentioned, the home of the All-Star Game. What's that going to be like as a host All-Star City, you think?
Well, it's going to be all about Pete Rose. It's
all about Pete Rose, really?
A big promotion for a big, number 14. Baseball is allowing Pete to be part of the festivities. Bud Selig said it at last year's All-Star Game when Rob Manfred took over in January. He reiterated that Pete Rose can participate in any kind of pregame stuff. And you know the Reds are going to do it up big. If they got the green light from baseball, they're going to include Pete in a big way. So we're going to see him all day Sunday. We're going to see him all day Monday and certainly all day Tuesday. And obviously, he is not on the Hall of Fame ballot or the Veterans Committee ballot, and for obvious reasons. But with Rob Manfred, there's kind of a push to include him in not only what's going on in Cincinnati, but maybe a push for the Hall of Fame. It was never going to happen under Selig, and Rob Manfred is not closing the door to it.
What about Johnny Bench and Joe Morgan and all those great players? I mean, will they be involved, you think?
Oh, yeah. I walked around the ballpark after the opener here in Cincinnati and saw the bench statue and, Pete Rose Way. I mean, they might have overlooked him elsewhere around the game, but not here. You know, Joe Morgan, they recognize all the greats, especially from the 70s when they dominated baseball. And this is going to be the first one in Great America ballpark. They had one at Riverfront back in the day, but this is going to be quite a showcase. And guess who's managing?
Well, this year it'll be Bruce Bochy again.
Yeah, so you can expect quite a few Giants because he recalls how Joe Torre and Bobby Cox used to load up with Yankees and Braves, but now it's a little different because the players get to select pretty much the reserves, and there's only a few players that the manager can pick. And by then, every team has to be represented. So it's a little bit more difficult for a manager today than it was when Torre and Braves and Cox were taking all their players.
We'll have more with John Shea, columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle, right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
We have our opportunity here, and I know we have plenty of time really to think about All-Stars, but since you're in Cincinnati, who are the Giants All-Stars right now? For me, I mean, and I know that, like you said, there's so many little twist to it that Bruce Bochy might not be able to get his wish. But for me, right now, Angel Pagan is an All-Star. Going into last night's start, I thought Tim Lincecum. Now I'm not so sure. But I think eventually you're going to see Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner. Anybody else? I mean, what's legitimate as far as Giants All-Star picks?
Well, you know who's legitimate, who you haven't mentioned, is the shortstop, Brandon Crawford. He is having a really good year. He's gotten off to a nice start. For the longest time, he was leading all major leaguers in home runs. He has five. He's kind of been stuck there. He leads in RBIs. He's been playing very good defense, on pace to make the fewest errors of his career, and he's making the routine play always, not just the fantastic play up the middle or the diving stop in the hole, but it seems like his focus is better than it's ever been, and that's kind of what Ron Wotus has pushed, to make him concentrate on every play and don't ever wander with the mind and overlook maybe an easy routine play. You know, focus on all of them, make all the plays. And he's been doing that. So, I mean, you look around the league and, Simmons obviously is a great defender in Atlanta. Cozart, Peralta, the big name will get all the votes is Tulowitzki. you know, that is if he's still in Colorado, he might be in the American League by then, right?
Right.
But if I kind of guarantee you, if he continues to play, Bochy will find a spot on that team for it. But I do agree with you about Pagani. Hey, he's got off to a great start. It's not just about home runs, but, you know, you look at what he's done defensively and offensively as the number three hitter. I would have never guessed it. And Bumgarner, probably the most likely pitcher to be included, and Buster Posey, especially with Jonathan Lucroy hurt, Yadier Molina, you know, always a candidate, maybe not hitting a ton right now. So I imagine Posey might just get the fans' vote, so that might be an easy one.
And he's been hot since, you know, kind of a slow start. Pagan has been just steady the whole time, made a really good catch on Thursday night in Cincinnati. I thought he was going to dislocate his shoulder or something like that. You know, he was taking inventory after that. But, okay, we talked about the all-star candidates. What about a guy who's totally the opposite, not an all-star, and has Giants fans concerned? We talked about him on the last podcast with you, Casey McGee. And I wonder about his playing time. You know, and if your manager, Bruce Bochy, you've got Matt Duffy. He definitely has placed him in there when he can. He kind of rides Duffy when he gets hot. And then McGee is back in there. So, you know, what do you do? How much more do you play Duffy? And what about Adam Duvall, who's absolutely tearing up the Pacific Coast League playing in Sacramento?
Well, every day that's a story. Every time Bochy fills out his lineup card, the questions, you know, why McGee? You know, why not Duffy? Or, you know, why did you pick Duffy? Why you rested McGee? And it's really a daily story. And the other day, both of them were in there because Duffy played second base for Panic. Panic has a little hip issue. But I see him every day in pregame, and Duffy works his way around the horn. He takes grounders at third. He takes grounders at short. He takes grounders at second. And he really hasn't stopped hitting. He did have a rough game the other day. But Bochy is relying on him more and more to face tougher right-handed pitchers. And he's especially successful in clutch situations. Bases loaded, runners in scoring position, two outs. I mean, he's really the guy you want up there right now. And it's funny because the other day he was talking about how he doesn't have the tools and it's a big mental game for him to put the pressure on the pitcher and put himself in a good position mentally at the plate. And we asked him, what do you mean you don't have the tools? You might be the fastest guy on the team. you know, you've got a nice arm. You know, what do you mean you don't have it? And he just said, you know what, that's kind of a mental thing. I think that so that I can always overcome and maybe be the underdog and prevail. And so it's kind of a whole mind game with him every time he goes to the plate, by saying the pitcher, the pressure's on you, not me. And it's interesting to hear him talk about that. But I think you mentioned Duvall. Why not? Why not bring him up? If, I mean, we're nearly a quarter into the season. If McGee's not doing it now. And if you look at his last, you know, season last year, he hit into a lot of double plays last year. You know, he hit right there with Stanton, so he's well protected. He probably saw a lot of good pitches to hit, which he's probably not receiving right now at the bottom of the Giants order. So it's you look at Duvall; he's a corner infielder. He's been playing most of his time at third base in AAA, and he's putting up the numbers he put up last year. I mean, last year he had 90 RBIs in 90 games, nearly 30 home runs, and he already has 9 this year. And he's got almost as many RBIs as games played. So I why not? He hit for a cycle this year. You know, granted, it's a hitter's league, the Pacific Coast League, but, you know, why have three catchers? You know, what is Joaquin Arias doing for you? Maybe with an offense that isn't producing. You know, I saw a couple of games in Houston and Cincinnati back-to-back. They scored 3 runs and lost 4-3, so any miscue or lack of execution is going to be costly in these one-run losses. Why not bring up a guy who can hit the gap, maybe hit one out?
I agree. I mean, I think it's a matter of time. Here we are doing this podcast on May the 15th, and I went back and looked at May the 15th, 2014, and the batting average for Pablo Sandoval at that time, 204. Casey McGee's at 187, so that's still, you know, it's 17 points away. But my point is that, you know, Sandoval was struggling, but nobody was really thinking about taking him out of the lineup. Of course, you know, his track record, and McGee has a pretty good track record, so maybe that's the thing with Bochy here, is that, you know, he's not going to panic. I mean, it looks like play Duffy as much as he can, but I just don't know. I don't know how much time you give McGee before you pull the plug.
Yeah, that's a great point. What Pablo hit last year versus what McGee is hitting this year, right in the 200 range. Pablo, of course, I think mentally he was fried with all the contract talk, which extended into the regular season. I think he even admitted it. And then once they shelved the contract talks, he kind of took off offensively.
Yeah.
And with McGee, you know, the pressures have been well chronicled. You know, coming to a new team, coming to a championships team, coming home, replacing a Giants legend at third base. It all kind of got to him, got off to a rough start, had the knee injury, and really never recovered or came back from all of those things. And now he's in a huge hole, and you can tell with his body language that he's just not the most confident person at third or at the plate. So, hey, why not give him a rest? If the knee is bothering him at all, hey, put him down for 15 days on the DL and give him a mental blow and have him come back 100%. And let's see what Duffy could do every day. You know, why not? I know what you're saying about Bochy loving track records, but it's not like he's been doing this with the Giants for a number of years. And it's not even like he did it, period, for a number of years. Remember, he was in Japan a couple of years ago before returning and having a nice season last year. So it's in Miami. So it's not something he needs to stay a whole lot longer with if it's not working out.
More with John Shea after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm.
Well, another big decision for Bruce Bochy is on the horizon when he's got Matt Cain and Jake Peavy eventually coming back. And Hunter Pence also on his way. And I heard that he had a big day again at Sacramento where he had three hits and a home run, and that's not surprising because just watching him batting practice before he got started on rehab, he looked like he was ready to go then. So I think he'll do well in his rehab and come back. But just the pitching part of this, trying to make the decision, you've got now Chris Heston, who's been pretty good. I mean, more often than not, he's pitched well. I don't know that you take him out of the rotation. And Ryan Vogelsong, he started out terribly and then improved a little. Everybody else has been, you know, kind of up and down. I mean, Hudson has been up and down. Lincecum was way up, but then, you know, Thursday kind of changes your mind a little bit. Madison Bumgarner is going to be fine. But what do you do with the rotation when you get Kane and Peavy back whenever that is?
Well, I'm not sure if Kane is going to happen anytime soon. Peavy is ahead of him. Kane is supposed to throw another bullpen session here. We saw what happened at the end of spring training with the elbow. He came back from elbow surgery, so he just got on the mound to start throwing and really not all out. He hasn't faced hitters yet, so that's going to be a process. It might be a couple of weeks tops, or at the minimum rather. PV's a little bit ahead. He's going to be facing hitters here already. He's been throwing off a mound for quite some time, and he's already in Arizona throwing on consecutive days. So, you know what? Vogelsong was brought in as the number six starter, so I think even though he's coming off a couple of pretty decent outings, I think he's still the number six starter if one of those guys comes back. You don't want to mess with Heston. I mean, really, I mean, he's one guy who's the last guy who came up from AAA to do anything. It's been a while. and he's really figuring it out. I think he's kind of like Hudson with that sinker, and he's very efficient. He's a strike thrower. He doesn't like to walk guys. He trusts his defense, and he's coming off a big strikeout performance, double digits, and giving up just a couple of hits and not walking a guy. So it's certainly not going to be him. And, you know, there's always the possibility, especially with an aging staff, that you could find an injury conveniently and maybe rest a guy for a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I just see maybe Vogelsong, you know, unless he keeps throwing like this. But I guess it's a nice problem to have, I would say.
By the way, I mean, you know, the Giants avoided some injuries on this trip. There was that collision there with Susak and Kontos. I thought they were going to kill each other in Houston on that one pop-up. And Lincecum on his delivery, he nearly fell down twice. I don't know what was going on there. I think he was fortunate to not get injured.
He said that the mound was muddy. It's just all over YouTube now. It's kind of funky when a starter who's not, you know, 6'4", who just kind of relies on just 100% effort and this very long stride, kind of loses his footing. And he pretty much lost his footing off the rubber, not the landing spot, but he did kind of blame himself by saying he should have maybe dug a different hole to land on. And it's funny because he threw both of the pitches he collapsed on, and one of them was almost a strike, but I guess the umpire doesn't rule a strike when he sees the pitcher fall off the mound. Kind of reminded me of stories of Stu Miller. Didn't he get blown off the mound? Stories of him being blown off the mound in the 61 All-Star game at Candlestick.
More with John Shea in just a moment. It was time for a new pair of snow skis, and I couldn't be happier with my decision to buy them at Demosport, where the experience was great, and I found out that they not only have skis, but they have snowboards and snow apparel. And for the summer, get ready with water skis, wakeboards, stand-up paddle boards, and all of your land sports needs like bikes and scooters, and you can even get sunglasses there. Demosport, 1101 Francisco Boulevard in San Rafael. Call them at 415-454-3500. Demosport, committed to getting you the gear you need. As we finish up part one of our two-part conversation, I wanted to ask you about being there when Monty Irvin received a World Series ring, the third time that he's received one with the modern-day San Francisco Giants. Of course, he earned a World Series title as a player back in 1954, but he's 96 years old, and I saw the video and the photos that you posted on SF Gate, and I encourage folks to do that, and you look at him, and you can't believe that he's 96. He looks like not a day over 70, or maybe younger than that, and it was just such a joyous occasion, and it makes you realize that the Giants do things right when it comes to this. Of course, they gave Pablo Sandoval his ring at a hotel in San Francisco when the Red Sox were in town. And, you know,
in a dark alley.
Yeah, it wasn't a dark alley, but it seems like they did that right. They have a knack for doing this right, but this was really special, wasn't it?
He's 96 years old. He's living in Houston. The Giants took advantage of the opportunity because they were playing the Astros. They had given rings to the five Hall of Famers who were there early in the season. They got their rings along with the current players. But this is a guy who was one of two of the Giants' first African-Americans to play for the team, July of 1949. I mean, he's history 101. And just a gem of a person and a ball player. Negro League stories, Jackie Robinson stories. It was a two-hour visit. And
wow.
I was fortunate enough to be part of it, Chris Haft and myself, along with Larry Bear and Bobby Evans of the Giants. They presented him the ring. And it was at Monty's daughter's house in West Houston, and Monty's daughter and granddaughter were there. And 2 hours of just listening to the man talk about stories that I just, you know, couldn't believe. Ray Dandridge, the Negro League third baseman that Monty told Horace Stoneham, the old owner, said, "Hey, you got to sign this guy," and Stoneham didn't. And years later, Stoneham apologized to Dandridge. He never did play in the majors, even though he was in his prime at the time that Jackie broke in 1947. And Monty said that they really could have used him in 1950 when they needed a third baseman. And so, you know, years later, Stoneham and Dandridge meet up, and Stoneham apologizes and gave him $2,000 for overlooking him, which was a lot of money, obviously, then. And you know, Dandridge took the high road. But apparently, according to Monty, you know, Dandridge, one of the greatest third basemen of all time, a Hall of Famer, would have been a perfect fit for the Giants back when Monty and Hank Thompson played with them. But he just kept spinning stories of yesteryear and you know, by the way, he lost his world. He didn't lose his World Series ring. He got it stolen, the 1954 ring. You know, 10 years later, he said somebody snuck in his house, took his ring. Well, now he's got three of them. So I think he's compensated for losing that one ring. He's got the 10, 12, and 14 ring. And another kind of a cool story to all of this was Larry Bear at one point asked Monty, "Have you ever met the president, Barack Obama?" And he said, "Well, no, but I'd love to." He said, "Well, guess what? We'd love to have you as part of the Giants' visit to the White House in June. You know, can you join us?" And just he almost got up and did somersaults through the room. He was pretty excited. His family already putting it down on the calendar. So, if he can make it, that would be pretty cool for Monty Irvin to join Mays and all the Giants at the White House visit next month.
Yeah, what a great story. And he was a mentor to Willie Mays. I've been reading the Willie Mays book by James Hirsch. And, you know, today I don't know how much that exists where somebody is that willing to be a mentor and help out a young kid like that. It happens, I guess, but it really was helpful, I guess, for Willie Mays.
Yeah, I guess Leo DeRocher, who managed Willie in Willie's rookie year, 1951, Monty had been there a couple of years already, and he asked Monty, he said, "Hey, can you just watch this kid, you know, make sure he goes to the right places, stays out of trouble, and does all this stuff?" So Monty says, "Yeah, for the couple of years I watched him, and by year three, Willie was watching me, taking care of me." So it's and Monty said, people talk about Clemente and his arm and his release. He said Mays had a better arm, a better release, and spoke of Oscar Charleston, the great Negro League center fielder who was Mays before Mays, or some people might say Mays is the next Charleston, however you want to look at it. But this is a guy who said, here's a quote from Monty Irvin. He says, "I've seen DiMaggio play. I've seen Cobb play." He said, "But Mays is the best I've ever seen." I'm thinking, you saw Cobb play? He looked it up, and I guess he was 9 years old when Cobb played his last game, so he might have, you know, seen him in some field, or, you know, he grew up in New Jersey, so he easily could have seen him in New York or a barnstorming tour, but he saw Cobb play. That's all you need to know about Monty Irvin when you talk to him. Like I said, he's history 101.
That's part one of our two-part conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, our regular guest. Join us again Monday. We'll get into the Barry Bonds collusion case and look ahead to the Giants-Dodgers series. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.